we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hey there, Redemption Church. I'm here to share one of my favorite verses with you. Enjoy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is... For crying out loud! I'm trying to make a video here! Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not... And whoa, is that a brand new car? How do they get brand new cars like that? My goodness, why can't we do that, Sarah? It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Get out of the road! Who are these people? Love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, Vicki Skinner could learn a little bit about that. Am I right? I mean, she never liked my hashtag Limitless2018 post. It's hard being a pastor. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And as always, here's a funny cat video.
Hello, everyone online, all you beautiful people online, all you beautiful people in the room. Hello to all of you. I'm so glad to be able to share God's word with you. We are in the second week of our sermon series. What's the name of this sermon series? Jesus Loves Me. Jesus Loves Meme. Yes, you heard that right. We said meme. Our care pastor, Marshall, did such a good job bringing the word of God last week, didn't he? Can you give him a hand? Oh, I loved it. AG2G, of course, he says, all glory to God. Last week he told you that a meme is an idea that is conveyed through the culture. It's often using pictures in today's vernacular. Last week Marshall preached on the seems legit meme, and it was both fun and impacting, all of it. You are legit in Christ. You need to check it out if you missed that sermon series. You check it out on our website. We have a brand new subject today, and I think Jesus would share today's meme with you. I mean, literally, what if you got a notification on your phone, you look down, and Jesus had tagged you in a meme. He, like, put a tag symbol and tagged you in this meme. What would you do? I think he would do that. If he had a Facebook account, I think he would post today's meme, and he might tag you in it. Today, I want to introduce you to the Also Me meme. Say, also me.
Also me.
Also me. Here are a few examples. Who am I to judge? Also me. It's a picture of Simon Cowell getting ready to absolute judge, right? This one, violence is not the answer. That's what I say all the time, but this is also me, right there, ready to punch somebody out. You get the point of these also me memes yet? How about this one? This one I really like. I would like to share this with some people. Let's see it. I love to mind my own business. Also me. She's got a little camcorder. She is filming somebody's business right there. There are many uses of the also me meme. The meme centers on an identity issue. Everybody say identity issue.
Identity.
I am this person. I am this kind of person. And there are ideas and morals that are my moral compass, and I try to live those out. But there, at the same time, is another identity sometimes present inside of me. And because while all of this is true of what I try to be, there's also a different kind of me that shows up sometimes. There's a also me. It's usually easier to see this in other people than it is to see it in yourself. You can say amen to that, right? It's easier to see the also me's in other people, but we all got them. We've all got also me identity issues. I think it is likely that Jesus would share these memes on our social media and perhaps tag Chris Fluitt in it. My favorite variation of the also me meme is the evil Kermit meme. Leroy, have you seen the evil Kermit meme? It looks a little bit like this. There's a good Kermit, and he's facing a bad Kermit that's dressed in some dark robe. He looks kind of like a Sith Lord of some kind. He looks dark, right? And one's a good Kermit, and the other one is a bad Kermit, all right? This evil Kermit wants to say and do things that are opposite of what the good Kermit says and tries to do. You following me so far? Here's some, I know this is like high level theology here today, but here are some examples. I should do something today. Also me, no, pity yourself. I like to imagine the evil Kermit with that voice. You've had those kind of days. No, I should get out and do something, make something. No, you should pity yourself and cry at home until people notice and feel bad. All right? I might have done that this morning. All right. How about this one? The light has turned yellow. I should slow down. Also me. Floor it. Floor it. Go. Right? That's also me. There are two identities in this picture. There is the good Kermit, and there is the evil Kermit. You understand this, right? Are we honest enough to admit that we might have some good Kermit in us and some, I won't call it evil. Let's just lessen a little. Some less than good Kermit in us. Could we be honest enough to say that there are some identity issues that show up inside of us? Could we be honest enough to say that today? I made some new versions of this meme. Let's just give them a try. How about this one? Pastor's preaching good today. Also me. Don't say amen. Okay, that one was for my own benefit, all right? I couldn't resist it. Let's look at this one. I think these hit close to home. I think God wants me to help that person at that traffic light. Also me, just keep looking forward. Don't make eye contact, right? How about this one? I should pray. Also me, two words, Netflix. How about this one? I love Jesus, also me. Those temptations, though. How about this one? It's kind of from our video earlier. Love is patient. Love is kind. Also me. If you kids don't shut your mouths right now, I swear to the Lord Almighty. Right? I've actually been in the middle of prayer meetings where I've had to call down my children. And Lord, we're so thankful for your people. William Worth, if you... I've had to do it, and I think I was in the spirit when I did it, all right? Spare the rod, amen, all right? Are we honest enough today to admit that we've got some identity issues? Do you ever feel like there is more than one identity fighting for control of your life? You want to go out and improve your life, make a better life, but there is a lazy identity or a procrastinating identity that speaks up and says, nah. Someone say amen if that's the truth. You've got that identity. You want to live for God, but there is this self-centered identity that only wants to live for itself and inserts itself into the mix of everything. Someone say amen. That's the truth right there. You want to close the door on sin. You repent at the altar only to turn around and have thoughts and ideas coming from your heart and mind to turn you back to the sin that you just left. Somebody say amen. That's the truth. That is the truth. We're getting real today. No, you are not the only one. Now somebody say amen to that, because you are not the only one that has these issues. You're not the only one with identity issues. You're not the only one with an evil Kermit at work in your life, and also me at work in your life. Can I tell you, God isn't surprised. He's not surprised by any of this. His word tells us about it in Romans 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul says this, I do not understand what I do. That's the scripture I live by right there, that little phrase. I do not understand what I do. Put that on my bumper sticker. Reading on, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. So let's make sure we understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here. This Apostle Paul, he's a smart dude. But he just says, you know what? Sometimes I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm having trouble here. This is the Apostle Paul that explains some things in the Bible that no one else has. He had some revelation he gave about God's grace that no one else gave. It was powerful. And he right here is just saying, listen, guys, sometimes I just have no idea what I'm doing. No idea. Because what I want to do, I don't do that. Those things that I say, these are the good things to do. I definitely need to do these things. I've gone to the altar and proclaimed, promised God that I will do these things. Those are the very things I don't do. And then those things that I say, don't ever do that again. No, don't ever touch that again. Don't ever say stuff like that again. Don't ever watch a movie like that ever again. Don't do these things ever again. Those things that I've proclaimed, I hate to do these things. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll do those things at the drop of a hat. That is what he's saying here. This is the Apostle Paul talking. You want to live for God, but you can't. You don't want to live for sin anymore, but you do. The things I want to do, the things that are good, the things that are pleasing to God, the things that are righteous, I don't do them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on. I'm going to do this good thing, but the also me is I didn't do it. And then there's these things, I'm not going to do these things anymore, but the also me is that I do them on the regular. Looking at the very next verse, at verse 17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is another identity. It is sin living in me. He's saying that he has an identity issue. Do you see this? It is no longer I myself that's doing it. It's not the Apostle Paul that's doing it. It's another identity. And that identity is what? Sin living where? In me. Inside the Apostle Paul. Paul says there is another identity present with him. He says sin is living in him. Can I tell you one second? Just pause real quick. If you are beating yourself up over sin, let me tell you, you ought not to do that. Because the Apostle Paul was struggling with the very stuff that you are struggling with. I'm not telling you to give up fighting against sin, but do not beat yourself up over it. Okay? Paul says that there's another identity present in you. Don't you understand that there is another identity present inside you? Don't you dare beat yourself up. Realize the spiritual dynamic that's happening, that there is another thing working inside of you. And that's the thing you need to find. That's the thing you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not testifying of something in his past here. Do you agree? He's testifying of something in the present. He doesn't say, you know, guys, before I came to know the Lord, I really struggled with sin. No, he's not. He's saying, guys, I've come to the Lord. I've done many things for him. I speak in tongues more than any of you, he says. He does these things. He says, I have sin living in me. Some churches, you walked in, proclaimed that, they'd kick you out of the church. They wouldn't allow the Apostle Paul in their church. He's saying, sin is living in me. If you got sin living in you, you are in the right place today. Don't you dare get up and leave. We love you. God loves you. The Apostle Paul's not throwing things at you, and neither are we. Paul is testifying of something in the present. He is writing in the present tense that sin is currently living in him. Paul is not blasting you here. Sometimes we pick up the Bible, we feel like it's blasting us. Paul's not blasting us, he's joining us. He is literally telling us, also me. that's also me. Isn't that wonderful that Paul is not throwing judgment at you? Paul is revealing that he is not perfect. That if he were to throw judgment at you, he would also be throwing judgment at his own self. Far from it. Paul is saying that sin lives in him. Your pastor's not coming hard on you today. He's not coming down hard on you today in judgment. Your pastor is saying, also me. Yeah, absolutely. Also me. Could we be honest today and just say, also me? Somebody say, also me. Also me today. I came to worship God today, but there is an also me that struggles to fully surrender my heart to Jesus. There are these little compartments in my life that aren't quite surrendered to Him. And while I want to worship Him and surrender everything, there's an also me. I may have thrown some cash in the offering today, but there is an also me that is greedy and materialistic. I may be able to quote scripture, but there is an also me that refuses to share Jesus with the world around me because I'm too afraid of what they may think about me. There's an also me. I love God, but there is an also me that has trouble loving, forgiving, showing kindness and patience to the people around me. Redemption Church, we need to be reminded that there is an also me inside of every one of us. In fact, how refreshing would it be if someone came in here today struggling with an issue, struggling with a problem that they thought they had to keep secret for the rest of their life, that they couldn't possibly reveal it to them, to anybody, especially a church, that they would be judged and hated, that they'd be ridiculed and damned to hell? What if they came in here today and you just told them, also me? How beautiful would that be? How much grace would there be in that? I would dare say that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be all over that kind of move. Also me. Somebody say it. Also me. Romans 7 verse 18. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. Good itself does not dwell in us. A sinful nature dwells in us. And that's not one of our favorite scriptures, right? Because we like to think we're good people. We like to think, well, you know, I'm no Hitler. I'm a pretty good person, right? You know, I'm a really good person. No, he just comes right out and said, there is no good thing in me. Good itself does not dwell in me. You will not find good in me. That is in my sinful nature. That can be hard for us to hear. We have sinned. And we are capable of sinning further. Somebody say amen on that. Not only have we sinned, but we are capable of sinning further. Don't you dare throw judgment stones at somebody because you've sinned and you are capable of sinning past the place where they are right now. And we don't like to think about it, but it's true. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. Who has sinned? All have sinned. And I would add to that, that all have sinned and are capable of sinning further. Oh, yes, you are. Absolutely. Jesus looks into the eyes of people and he says, you have hate in your heart. You've committed murder in your heart. He said, you've got this sin in your heart and you're capable of going to murder. He looks at them and says, you have lust in your heart. You've committed adultery in your heart. Now, they hadn't done the act, but he said, you have the sin in your heart, and you're capable of sinning further all the way to the place of adultery. That is what he's saying. Let me tell you, all have sinned, and all are capable of sinning further. That's not a goal. I'm not telling you to go out and do that. But I'm telling you, you better know what is going on and how serious it is to have sin nature living inside of you. We have a time of talking to God in prayer every time we gather together at Redemption Church, don't we? Yeah. Are we going to do that today? Yeah. You bet we're going to do that today. We challenge everyone, and I do mean everyone, to take a step from their seat and come forward to talk with God. We challenge you to come receive prayer in the first 2 feet of this altar. We know that not everybody just wants people just coming up and praying with them. Sometimes people want to be just left alone. So we just have this area up here that lets us know you want somebody to pray with you. You don't come into that area, nobody's going to bother you. Like sometimes we're like, oh, I think those spiritual weirdos are going to. No, we might be spiritual weirdos, but we are not going to bother you. Y'all could laugh at that one. Y'all are like, speak for yourself. All right, also me, spiritual weirdo. We have been told that what we do here at Redemption Church is kind of different. It's a little different from other Christian churches, the way we go about it. It's not unusual for churches to end with a time of prayer, but in most worship services today in the DFW area, they concluded services with the call for people who are sinners, everyone said sinners, to come forward to receive Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you are still very much dead in your sin. So would you like to come forward and confess your sin and find forgiveness? That's the call that goes out to people. And that's a wonderful call. It's wonderful that people could come and encounter God. Not putting that down in the slightest. But there is a major problem occurring. And we're going to talk about it for a moment. There is a call for sinners to come forward and confess their sins and find forgiveness, and receive Christ. That happened all over the DFW Metroplex today. Don't you believe it? Yeah. Oh, it absolutely did, right? There's a call for sinners to come forward, confess their sins, find forgiveness, and receive Christ. Yet, all the professing Christians stayed seated in their seats while all the sinners go forward and pray. And that's what happened all over this Metroplex. Members of that church that have been there for 10, 5, 1 year, 1 week, I don't know how long, but they have been there, they sat and they watched those people go down there and pray. And they're like, oh, it's so good that those sinners are going to the altar to confess their sins, find forgiveness, and receive Christ. All right? They stay in their seats and thinks it's wonderful that they went and got saved, right? But did they miss that it was a call for all sinners? Wait, was it a call for sinners? I'm just going to sit in my seat here. Oh, it's so good that they realize they're sinners. Oh, thank goodness. You know, I've known for a long time about her. You know what I'm saying? Did they forget that they were sinners? Is it possible for Christians to forget that they are sinners? Yes. Is it possible for Christians to quote Romans 3:23 about other people and not about themselves? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Oh, so do you not fall short of the glory of God anymore? Also me, I fall short of the glory of God. I am still a sinner. There's still a sin nature living in me. Don't you forget that. Don't forget that. So they missed the call for sinners to come. They forgot they were sinners. How about this one? Did they refuse in that moment to confess their sins? Oh, yeah, they did. All right, how about this one? Did they forget that they still need forgiveness? Arms up all over this place if you still need the forgiveness of the Lord. Arms up. Don't be shy about it. Both arms up. I need the forgiveness of God. How dare they proclaim to know God and stay seated at a call for all sinners, at a call for anyone to confess their sins and find a forgiveness, and then what was that last thing? And receive Christ? Whoa, do they think that because they received Christ years ago that they have no need to receive Christ again today? Oh man, pastor's preaching good today, but don't say amen. Listen, do you think, have you fallen for some kind of false gospel that you only need to say a sinner's prayer and that's the only receiving of Jesus Christ you ever need to do in your life? That is false. That is absolutely false. You need to receive Him every day. You need to receive Him every hour. You need to receive him in every worship song. Don't pull this, well, I don't care about this worship song. It's not about the worship song. It's about the Christ that we serve. Oh, but I don't like this sermon series. I don't even know what a meme is. Sweetheart, it's not even about the sermon. It's about the Christ we're proclaiming. You better receive him. Don't stay seated while other people are receiving Christ. Beat them to Christ. You go there first. Be like the woman that was reaching out, not being denied, to touch the hem of his garment. Be that person. Receive Christ. Receive Christ. Receive Christ. Receive Christ. And receive him tomorrow. Receive him the day after. Receive him next Sunday. Receive him all the time. Receive him, receive him. Look at somebody and say, you better receive Christ. My goodness, that is a serious problem in Christianity today, that your experience with Christ is a one-time thing where you said a simple prayer. And I'm so thankful for everybody that takes a step towards Jesus. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But my goodness, why do we make that the finish line? Friends, it is the start line. It's where you start and you continue to take steps every day, confessing your sins, finding forgiveness, receiving Christ. Confessing your sins, finding forgiveness, receiving Christ. There's not a day that goes by that your pastor's not confessing his sin, finding forgiveness, receiving Christ. The first time I received Christ was in 1988, but I've been doing it every day since. We all have an also me, but I want to tell you real quick, do not hide your also me. Do not hide your also me. The name of this meme, really quick, besides the Upchurch family, does anybody know the name of this meme character? You see, these have names. Go ahead. Smiling through the pain. That one's really good. It's close. It's Hide the Pain Herald. Everyone said Hide the Pain Herald. And I happen to know that our very own Jonathan Upchurch loves this meme almost as much as he loves his dear wife, Anda. He loves this meme so much. He loves it so much, he introduced it to me. He's called Hide the Pain Herald because he looks happy and sad at the same time. Look at that real quick. Just look at it. Look at his eyes. Can we get a... Just look at those eyes. Oh my gosh, that poor guy. Look at his eyes. Those eyes are sad. Harold's eyes look sad. They look like they are experiencing a deep down soul pain. I don't know what you're going through, Harold, but I'm praying for you, bro. I'm praying for you, bro. But then look at his mouth. Yet Harold is smiling. Look at that mouth. And those teeth are unnaturally white. But if you only looked at his mouth, you would think that Harold is happy, right? His eyes say he's sad. His mouth says he's happy. Do not hide your also me. It's like Harold has an also me in him. It's like, this is me, but this is also me up here in my eyes, right? The church world is full of hide the pain Harolds. Oh, yeah, we are. If you look at their mouth, and if you hear the words that come out of their mouth, you will think that they are happy. But when you look into their eyes, there is a pain that's not being spoken of. There is a failure that's not yet confessed. There is an also me that they're hiding. You see it in their eyes. Say amen if I'm telling the truth. You've seen that in the church. They're smiling. You ask somebody how they're doing. They said, oh, I'm doing fine. And their mouth says this, and their eyes say, hide the pain, Harold. You have seen that. Don't do that, Christians. Christians, do not hide the pain, Harold. Don't do that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, if we try to hide our sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What do you call when the truth's not in us? A liar. You're a liar. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, if we reveal our sins, if we say, yeah, I confess, that's also me. What does it say? He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Church, we also have and also me. And if we don't confess it, we are liars. If we don't confess it, we are deceived and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess it, let me tell you, you find God's faithfulness in His forgiveness and in His love. And if you will confess it, God will use the very thing that you used to hide. God will then redeem it so it becomes your testimony that will win someone to Jesus Christ. That's what He does. He's a redeemer. He even redeems the messed up things in me that I used to hide. They become my greatest weapon against the enemy. So which me wins? Which one? There's the also me, and then there's the other also me. Number one, which one am I? I remember being in junior high and really making the decision, am I going to live for Jesus or am I going to not live for Jesus? And I remember there was a real struggle in me. I was like, would I sell out Jesus to try to convince these people that I've got some modicum of coolness in me? Or will I be faithful to Jesus? What about, will I act the same way at church as I do at school? Yeah, I remember once I was with my youth group at a mall and one of my school friends showed up and I was like, oh, this is the worst. Which also me is going to win? Which Kermit the Frog is coming out at Lake Air Mall in Waco, Texas? Your enemy, the devil, wants you to think because of your also me failures and sins that you've already lost. That's what he'll do to you. You know this, right? If you don't know it, this is key in his playbook. He's like, oh, see, you're just a hypocrite. Oh, he loves to say, what a stupid line for him to say if you think about it. Is there a bigger hypocrite than him? Oh, you're just a hypocrite. You're not true, and how dare you worship God? We know what you were thinking. And we know all these thoughts. That's what he's doing. He wants you to think that you've already lost, that evil Kermit has already won. That's what he wants you to think. Romans 7:18, he might even quote this one for you. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. He would say, you're just a no good sinner. You can't possibly live for God. You can't possibly be blessed by God. You have failed God for the last time. Remember when you repented? He is going to do all these things, and he has got a great memory. That's your enemy, the devil. The enemy wants to remind you that good itself does not reside in you. I am convinced that evil spirits spend most of their time and energy trying to produce fear, guilt, and shame in us. They do not spend the majority of their energy getting little girls' heads to spin around like they do in that one movie. No, they spend most of their time getting you to be afraid, getting you to feel guilty, getting you to feel shame. That's what they try to do. There is an enemy that loves to remind us of the also me. That's his playbook. The also me sin nature that lives in us. Don't you think he did that with the Apostle Peter when he betrayed Jesus? Don't you think he did that then? Oh, absolutely. Don't you think he did that to Judas all the way to his terrible death? Yes, he did. He loves to remind us of the also me. But here is where the devil loses. You want to hear where the devil loses? Anybody want to hear where the devil loses? I mean, if you're bored already, we can just end. Or do you want to hear where the devil loses? All right. You see, he wants to mess with your identity, but you done messed up, A.A. Ron, because your identity is where you win. That was an internet joke just for Jacob. I don't know if he even got it. But if he's messing with your identity, he's already lost. Because your identity in Christ is where you win. You ought to welcome him
to talk about your identity, because you are bought with a price. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. You're called by His name. His Spirit lives in you. He died for you. You're joint heirs with Christ. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You could go on and on and on. Devil, I welcome you to talk about my identity. You know, your identity, you're a no good snake worm that is going to fall like lightning, and you are going to burn in hell forever. You want to talk about identity? You're going to go to hell and I'm not. Your every conversation with the devil should end right there with you worshiping the Lord. Amen? That's where the devil loses every time. While it is true that there is an also me, a no good Chris Fluitt around here, lurking in my thoughts and in my heart and in my actions, things that are not good, full of lies, full of lust, full of greed, full of hatred, full of every kind of sin. While it's true that's also me, there is an also me that desires good. Look at the rest of this verse, Romans 7:18. We read the first part. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good. Now, I got to tell you something. Some of you that have studied what total depravity is, I don't know how they get past that verse. Because that the idea of that doctrine says that there is nothing good in you. But right there, Paul says, there is a desire that the Creator has put in me to do good. There is a desire deep down. I don't care how far you have fallen. God has put a desire deep down in your life to do what is good. Now, the rest of that verse is also important. But you cannot carry it out by yourself. You cannot carry it out on your own strength. That desire to do good, you cannot, no matter how much you try to keep the rules, no matter how much you try to go to church or read your Bible, you have this desire to do good, but you can't do it by yourself. Who do you need to help you? Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ in you that does the work. It's Him that brings life in you. It's Him that brings love in you, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, everything you need. He brings that to you. I have come that you might have life and life to the full, He said. When you lift your hands in worship to God, you are telling the devil, this is also me. You realize that? I know you messed up, but this is also me. I desire to worship the Lord Almighty. And if this is my last breath, I'm going to use it to shout hallelujah to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's also me. I love God. I desire God. Satan, that's also me. When you come to this altar and you talk to God, you are revealing to the enemy, the devil, although I am a sinner, guess what? This is also me. I will turn from my rebellion and I will turn to the Father that loves me. I am loved by God and He will forgive me of all my confessed sin. This is also me in this altar. He tries his best to keep you away from here. But this is also me. I just learned early on, you're going to find me in the altar. This is who I am. This is also me. You will overcome his guilt and his shame, and you come find forgiveness here. This is also you. Satan is frightened by the also me that's born again. Satan is frightened by the also me that's rooted in Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. He does not want to do, doesn't know what to do about that also me. He doesn't want to talk about that also me. He only wants to talk about the also me that messed up. But all that is covered by the blood of the Lamb. I want to remind you of our scripture memory verse. It contains an also me. 1 Corinthians 1. We're going to read 27, 28. God chose the foolish things. There we are. That's also me. God chose. He says you're the foolish things. Right? You need to point him to the first words there. God chose. I'm chosen. I don't care if you think I'm foolish. I'm chosen. God chose what? The foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak. That's also me. You're right. You're right, Satan. I am weak, but I'm chosen. I'm chosen. He chose the weak things. Go back to that verse. He chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Verse 28. God chose the lowly things of this world. Who is that? That's also me. The lowly things of this world. But what? God chose me. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. Yeah, that's me. And the things that are not. The things that have not yet come to pass. The things that aren't yet. Do you get this? You're going to be ruling and reigning with the King of Kings on his throne. It's not yet seen. God's taking the things that are not yet to do what? To nullify the things that are. What are the things that are? The law of sin and death are the things that are. Your shame, that's the things that are. Do you get this? That there is a law of sin and death and you are on the wrong side of it. Those are the things that are. But God is going to take the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God is going to take you and he's going to use you to preach his gospel so that people that are on their way to hell, it's nullified. They're going to be on their way to heaven. That's also me. That's also me right there. Look, there I am. Somebody says, where are you in Scripture? There I am. I'm the foolish things. I'm the weak things. I am the lowly things, the despised things. But I am chosen by God. That's me. That's also me. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. You know this verse? Sure, I fell seven times. That's me. But check out this also me. I will rise again. And what is it? How does it describe the person that falls seven times? Righteous. Are they based? Is their righteousness based on their seven failures or their one rising? They're called righteous because they rose again. Righteous people, get back up. Get back up. You want to be righteous? Get back up. You are not unrighteous because of your failure as much as you are righteous because you have gotten back up under the power of the Lamb. Samson's a character in your Bible. Raise your hand if you've heard of Samson. Did Samson fail? Oh, absolutely. He had more strength than anyone, and he absolutely failed. He was lustful, and he was unfaithful. He was full of pride, and he was foolish. This list could go on and on. He was disobedient, and it led Samson to a place where he was imprisoned and blinded. He was a slave pushing a millstone when he was meant to be the judge of the Lord. And the enemy, the Philistines, led Samson around like a trophy. They put him in chains. They made fun of him. They ridiculed him. They held him up and said, look at this mighty man of God that we have taken and we have blinded and we have made our own slave. He was so strong and powerful, but look, he's under our control now. The Philistines rejoice over his failures, his foolishness, and his weakness. This is how the enemy treats us. Do you agree? Oh, yeah. Does the enemy try to lift you up like a trophy? Isn't that how we approached God about Job? Oh, you just watch. I'm going to have Job begging and screaming for you to kill him. He's going to be cursing your name as he draws his final breath. That's what he did. And that's what the enemy did to Samson. And that's what the enemy does to us. But watch Samson introduce his enemy to the also me. Judges 16, verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me. In the moment where he was being the ridicule of his enemy, he prayed to the Lord for strength. And guess what? Strength returned to Samson. The also Samson, the Samson now that is filled with the strength of the Lord, was revealed to everyone in the house as he brought down the house, defeating every last one of his enemies. There is an also you that is a sinner, absolutely. But you have another identity. There is an also you that is loved by God. There is an also you that is empowered by the Holy Ghost. There is an also you that is covered by the blood of Jesus, and you have been washed whiter than snow. There is an also you that can do all things through Christ. Why is this possible? Because Jesus died for the also me. He died for the me that worships him. He dies for the me that lies. He dies for the me that feeds the hungry. He dies for the me that is materialistic and greedy. He died for the me that loves him and worships him. He dies for the me that's full of lust, that's full of lies. He died for all of me. He died for all of me. And that's my true identity. You, whatever also me the enemy comes up, that's the also me that Jesus died for. That's the also me that Jesus is going to redeem. And that is the also me that's going to be transformed, born again, and come up out of the grave one day and seat with him in his throne one day. Clap your hands if you believe it in this house. All over this metroplex, I'm drawing to a close. All over this metroplex, there was a call for sinners to come forward and confess their sins and find forgiveness and receive Christ. This altar is open today for every sinner. Why don't you join me down here? I'm going to be down here. It's a call for sinners, so here I am. To call for those to confess their sins and find forgiveness. I want that every time. It's a call to receive Christ. Why don't you receive Christ in this place? This altar is open to everyone in this place today. Come join me in this altar. There's victory over your enemy in this altar. There's a new identity for you today in this altar. Why don't you come? Some of you need special prayer. You really need a miracle of God in your life. I want you to come in the first 2 feet. Come on, be bold today. Come on, let that come up out of you. Let that strength rise in you today. Come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray for you, and God is going to do powerful things in your life that you never thought he would do. Father, bless every person in this house. Bless every person that's watching or listening online. Lord, get a hold of their hearts, Jesus. Lord, we come against the enemy and all of his lies. He's a liar. God, you've put a desire for good in our heart. God, and you have drawn us to you. Lord, we're here. Lord, right now, Lord, let everybody watching, listening online, let them call on Jesus Christ right where they are. Let them find everything they need in him, because Jesus Christ died
for more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.